Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Timing and seeing God's hand in your life isn't just about speed, but it's also about slowing things down.
Yeah. Why are you rushing? Like, why are you, what's going on?
Yeah. Hello and welcome to the Two My Sisters podcast. I'm Courtney.
And I'm Renee, and we are your online sisters and hosts of the Two My Sisters podcast.
We are all about promoting the wellness, growth and development of a community of sisters around the world.
And in today's episode, we're going to be reflecting on the year so far.
2024.
Lessons learned, trials and tribulations, celebrations, everything and more. Yeah. How have we been glowing up intentionally this year? Yeah,
I like it. I like it.
I'm glad you like it. Great stuff. But before we get into that, do we have any housekeeping?
If you would like to, you can definitely purchase a copy of our book. We are authors. We have been for about a year.
Yes, we are.
And yeah, you can purchase To My Sisters, How to Unlock the Power of Female Friendships, on Amazon, bookstores, bookshelves, everywhere you can buy a book, pretty much you can buy our book. If you want to learn more about, you know, building community, improving your friendships, becoming a better friend, but also leveraging the power of community to become your best self, then you definitely need to read our book. The girls are saying it's full of gems.
That's what they say.
So why not? Pick it up for you, pick it up for a sister, pick it up for your mom. I was at a dinner yesterday. Someone was like, oh my gosh, I just have to say my mom really loves your podcast.
No way, auntie.
Shout out to auntie.
Come on now. Oh, that's absolutely beautiful.
Yeah, very cute.
Intergenerational very cute. Sisterhood. Don't miss out, guys. Please purchase your book.
Yes.
And for those of you that have purchased the book, please leave us a review.
Yeah. It really helps on Amazon, on your local book, where, I don't know, but somewhere. Online, you somewhere. Know, give us some feedback. Definitely help us to go up in those charts.
Come on
and
now.
Stuff. It's definitely really helpful. So yeah, give us some stars, but also leave us your thoughts on Amazon.
For sure. Well, I believe that the house is swept.
Yeah.
But alas, we must continue to sweep because it seems that there's a sister in need.
Tis our duty.
Coming in strong with a ding, ding, ding.
Dilemma.
Mm-hmm. So this dilemma goes straight into it.
Okay.
No, hey, hello. Sister's going through it.
It's okay.
Most relationship experts never talk about how to move on when you hurt someone. Mm. They only talk about how to heal when someone hurt us. Mm. But I hurt my ex really bad. I said mean things like I'm just with him for his money. I'm using him as a placeholder until I find someone better. He went through my phone when I was asleep and saw it, and he was hurt and betrayed. I have never done that before in my life. Then I got to realize that I was operating from a place of past hurt, that I didn't heal properly from my past, and I projected that hurt onto him, even though deep down I love him. My behavior also came from the fact that I've always been a lover girl my entire life, and I end up being betrayed most times, so it hardened my heart a bit to not give in so fast into my next relationship. I began to have this mindset of being soft isn't working for me, and my friend is hard and getting it, so I should try that method, I guess, even if I knew that wasn't me. Hence, I got influenced and rubbed off subconsciously. P.S. I'm not blaming whatever happened on anyone else but myself.
Yeah.
This relationship was just 2 weeks old, so I didn't want to trust fully from the beginning. Long story short, he doesn't want me anymore. He's forgiven me. He said he forgave me because he knows I'm a good person and I mean well, even though I got caught up doing something stupid. Mm-hmm. But he doesn't want to be romantically involved with me anymore. Mm. And I am trying to accept that and move on. Mm. I'm dealing with guilt and pain because I've never imagined myself causing such harmful pain on someone else. Mm. I'm trying to move forward, but sometimes I feel stuck. I wanted him back so bad that I settled on being friends with benefits with him, even though I knew he made it clear to me 3 times that he has detached from me emotionally. So I ended the friends with benefits because I realized I was just causing myself more harm and my feelings for him were getting deeper and might never be accepted.
Yeah.
I know I messed up, but does that mean I should hold on to someone that doesn't want me anymore, even if I want to make things right? I tried so hard to make it right, showed efforts for 3 months, even if the relationship was just 2 weeks old, yet nothing. I've picked myself up, making peace with the past, forgiving myself and giving myself grace to breathe, okay, and accepting that when we wrong someone, we have no right to choose how they deal with it.
Yeah.
But the healing phase can be so confusing. Gosh. Especially, this was a big gosh.
Gosh.
Especially when you still love them. Sometimes I'm like, did I give up on him too fast? Should I give him more time to heal and get over it? Do I move on? Mm. Since it's my fault, am I making the right choice? Should I wait for him a little longer? Like, give him more time? Help, sis.
This is very interesting. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Appreciate the honesty. Thank you for sending us your dilemma. I think, like you said, you can't control how people heal.
Yep.
But I would highly recommend that you listen to what this man is saying. Mm-hmm. And if he's saying that, like, he doesn't want to pursue a romantic relationship with you anymore, listen.
Yeah.
Like, really listen to that. I know the whole, like, oh, should I give him more time because maybe he'll change his mind is definitely an attractive option. Mm. However, how much time are you going to give to this, number mm-hmm, one? Mm-hmm. And two, are you sure that you can really mend that relationship? Like, I think at this point, just let him know, I actually really love you.
Mm.
And as you explained it to us, it seemed like being hard, being a bit of a player was working for my other friends. And I subconsciously internalized that.
Yeah.
And it led to me damaging our relationship. I'm really sorry. And I don't want to act like that anymore because I really do love you. Mm. I really do care about you. And this relationship actually does mean a lot to me.
Yeah.
And so that's just where my heart is at. I still want you, but I still want you to also have your time to heal. So this is not me saying we should get into a relationship straight away. I'm not forcing you to do anything.
Mm.
Please take as much time as you need, but just know that my heart is always open to you. I do agree with you cutting off this friends with benefits situation, yeah, because that's not it. And so
wrap it up, yeah, man.
Stop that, because that's just a whole blur of emotions for the both of you. Neither of you are going to really know where you stand. Mm. He may not get the opportunity to really heal and have the breathing space that he will need in order to become, you know, a healed person, but also maybe in the future enter a functional relationship with you.
Mm.
And so, yeah, I think you two should give yourself some distance. I think you should let him know where your heart is at. Let him know that your heart is open. I also think stepping away from this relationship in your case will also help you get the clarity you need as to whether this man is actually the person that you want, because there is something that your behavior was stemming from. And as much as you say it's subconscious influence from other people, sometimes our subconscious influences also latch onto an innate desire of our own, which is maybe you were not as in love with him as you thought, and now the idea of losing him because he's such a good person scares you, and that's what's maybe tricking you into thinking you're really, really in love with him. Because sometimes you see that where it's like, you know, somebody loses a person, like, no, I really want you back, then they get them back, and because that chase is over, they're kind of like, I don't actually want you as bad as I thought I did. So I think the distance will also give you clarity and will also give you space to really think about whether this is what you want, and also to uproot a lot of those subconscious thoughts, because it's very easy for you to enter into another relationship, seeing how this one went and thinking, oh my, okay, how do I even want to conduct myself? Do I want to be soft? Do I still feel like that isn't beneficial? Or do I want to be hard despite the fact that I've seen it, you know, end one relationship, maybe it'll work in this one. I think it's good for you to take a step back to really figure out what's your moral code for your relationships, what's your conduct going to be, and who is the person you want to be, even outside of relationships, right? The way we treat people is a reflection of who we are and the people who we hold ourselves, the standards which we hold ourselves up to. And so I think it's for you to now go away and really figure out who's the person I want to be as a person in romantic relationships, who are the people I'm also surrounding myself with, and what are the messages I'm internalizing from the way they are conducting themselves in romantic relationships and really deciding to have your own independent thought and agency over how you behave, no matter what other people are doing around you, it doesn't have to determine how you behave either. So make a decision about the person you want to be. So overall, I feel like you just need distance.
Yeah.
At this point, you just need distance. Let him know how you feel, step away, let him do his healing, and you go and figure out who you want to be and how you want to act and whether this is actually the person that you want. I would also say hold off dating anybody else for now, because it seems like this is also kind of a grayish area. Yeah. And so till you fully understand where your head is at, don't really go and engage with somebody else. You know, God can do anything. He can open the window for you to be with anyone. But I think right now it sounds like your mind is murky, and it may be made even murkier if you bring someone else into the situation. So I'm not telling you to completely cut it off, but I am saying you definitely need to distance a little bit. How about you, Renee?
No, I completely agree with everything that you said, man. I think I love what you were saying about sometimes these behaviors or activities can be indicative of something deeper that we need to unearth. And I completely agree with that. I think, first of all, sorry that you've had that experience. It can be so disheartening when you put yourself forward for so many different relationships or interactions and you feel like it's never reciprocated, or you find yourself constantly heartbroken. Many of us have been in that situation where, you know, we've been ourselves, and unfortunately it feels like in that context ourselves hasn't been enough. So I very much resonate with that, and I'm sorry that you've had that experience. I think I agree with you. I think you need to let that man go. And being in a situation where you are always going to be second best, or at least not something or somebody that he wants, means
that
you're...
I'm confused. Did she cause the problem or did he?
She did.
Okay, yeah, okay, cool, cool, cool.
If you put yourself in a situation where you're always going to be second best, or at least he's been upfront with you saying that I am not emotionally invested in this relationship, then you need to go, especially if it's not in alignment with what you want. And it's clear that you want a relationship. You mentioned, you know, I'm a lover girl.
Yeah.
This guy is not ready to give you love. Yeah. And it's unfortunate that some of your actions and behaviors may have caused him to come to this conclusion. But unfortunately, that is also life. And I think also, you've been a bit hard on yourself, in my opinion, given that the relationship was only 2 weeks. I know that I know that you did say that, you know, you've said some hurtful things, and it is a little bit of a, you know, to say those kind of things very early on in the relationship is definitely, sis, what were you thinking?
Yeah.
However, for you to be hanging on and engaging with this man over this extended period of time of like three months as a friend with benefits, you are problematic, but he is also extremely problematic too, because if he has been quite clear that he doesn't want an emotional investment in this relationship, and he knows that you want an emotional investment in this relationship and continues with you too, both of y'all is bad. Both of you are in a very bad place. And both of you need, as you were saying, that time to just heal, be by yourself, figure out what it is that you want, whether it is together, but more importantly, the person that you actually want to be.
Yeah.
Right. And it's not a bad thing to be a lover girl. It just means that you need to be very astute with redressing what boundaries am I going to have moving forward. I also agree, like, take a hiatus on the relationships for a bit. Figure out who is the woman that I want to be. If I am a lover girl, what are the boundaries or what are the conditions that are conducive to me being a lover girl?
Yeah.
How do I feel safe in this environment with another person to be able to be that person?
Yeah.
And I think that will help you a lot more in future relationships, rather than holding on to the past because you don't believe that you can find love with somebody that will also be a lover boy for you too.
Yeah.
So that's what I would say. It's a very... unfortunate situation. I love the self-awareness though, in that
That's
you were
great.
Able to say, look, okay, I was the issue here, or I had a very big contributing part as to why this relationship broke down. So I really want to give you your flowers for being able to take accountability like that. Yeah. But I do think that you should continue to take that accountability outside of the relationship.
Absolutely. And also remember that, like, you've proven to yourself this city girl lifestyle isn't for you.
It's
don't
not.
Ever try to play that game again. Don't ever try. You're not committed enough. You're not made for that stuff.
That's okay.
The majority of us actually are not. I'm not. So, you know, it is what it is. I completely missed that this was only like a 2-week situation. Given that actual information, girl, cut your losses. Like, yeah, you've actually had a learning curve. You've had a learning experience. And that's good. You know, you've dated and you've seen, I can't act like this in the future. I'll lose a really great thing. Mm. But it also sounds like this guy maybe isn't as hurt as he made it seem. Like, yeah. Yes, it's angering that somebody would say, you know, I'm only using you for your money, or I'm basically just trying to, you know, get the best out of it for me. Mm. However, I don't think that qualifies you to then be like, oh, you know what? Like, you've really broken my heart. Now all I want is to be friends with benefit.
Yeah.
It's been 2 weeks. The girl has said, I was trying to do the city girl thing. I'm clearly not made for that. I'm a lover girl at heart. I'm sorry for how I treated you. If he's then going to string you along, he's not really sounding like a good guy, yeah, as you just described as well. So I think use this as a learning curve and move on, like grow past this point, because 2 weeks, Aiden, I thought you guys were in a long committed relationship, and he saw that on your phone and you've really, you know, you've ruined something really, really good. Nah, girl, the intimacy didn't run that deep. Move on. Cut your losses and move on, please.
It's okay. But I love the self-awareness.
Yeah, love it. Absolutely love it. And if this is the guy for you, I don't believe in the one, but if this is the guy for you, then he'll spin around the block and he'll come back, you know? And hopefully you are in a more formed version of yourself, and so is he. So yeah, man, move on girl
move on. But sis, send in love and light in your situation. We pray that the lover girl in you will be honored by love
and by yourself as well. Yeah,
necessary.
Absolutely love that.
But moving on into the topic at hand, the episode, the main course.
What
the people came for. The first thing I wanted to ask actually was, how are you, Courtney?
Courtney Daniela Boateng is fine. I'm actually good.
Yeah.
I'm very, very surprised at that though.
Yeah.
I feel like around this time in the year, I get very overwhelmed as my birthday fast approaches. To let you guys know, about 6 weeks. I usually get very reflective about like where I'm at, but also how the beginning of the year has gone and all of this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been a really, really busy year.
Yeah.
But I feel like I've really tried to honor the things I set out to do at the beginning of the year, surrounding like certain disciplines, consistency, and being a lot more focused on the process of my growth and not just the results of it. And I think it's led to a deep level of introspection, but also me having a lot more compassion and grace towards myself. And I really thank God for that. But it's also meant that because I'm, you know, letting go of my old perfectionism and my perfectionist ways, I've given myself so much more grace to be more comfortable and less anxious at this point in the year, you know, as I think about the future, but also as I think about the choices that I've made, I definitely can identify that they haven't been perfect, and I'm okay with that. Which is the first like time in probably my whole life that I've been okay with that. So yeah, it's left me a lot more calm. I've slowed down a lot more, and I feel like I've still accomplished a lot of stuff, which has made me very, very happy. So I feel really good. Yeah, I'm actually good. Because I'm trying to, you know, when you're like, we all do that common thing of like, how are you? Oh, I'm good, but do you get what I mean? It's like, it's this, but I'm not saying everything is perfect, please. everything is definitely not perfect, but I think I've become okay with the imperfection of it all for the first time ever, which is good, because it's not that I'm not ambitious or I'm not pushing myself. I definitely am. But I think there are some things I've realized you grow through, you know, and that's good.
I love that. That's good.
Yeah. How about you, Miss Renee? How are you doing?
I'm all right.
How's Ren Caps?
Ren Caps is okay.
Yeah.
Do you know what? This has been a very interesting start to the year for me.
Yeah.
I think in terms of like my emotional growth and emotional intelligence, this has definitely been a journey. for those of you that are listening and not watching.
Audio description, Renee shook violently.
Have you seen that meme of that person with the wind coming in? Like, oh my gosh. But yeah, just the realities of like getting older. So very similarly, whenever it gets around like my birthday time, it was my birthday a couple weeks ago, about a month ago.
Yeah.
I too get very kind of reflective as to where I'm at in life and how I feel and all of that kind of good stuff. And I think similarly, whilst things have definitely not been perfect, I think it is what I have really enjoyed is continuing to getting to know myself, getting to know Renee and being unashamed in articulating what I need.
Yeah.
That has been for me so refreshing and so freeing. Like, I think I have been slowly over the course of my life chipping away at that version of Renee that needs to be strong and needs to be like holding it together and pushing through, because there's been some things in the last quarter that, Chad, I couldn't push through. Yeah. They pushed me.
Yeah.
I fell over.
Yeah.
And I think what's actually been so nice is allowing myself to feel through all of those experiences and those things, and just getting more in tune with myself. Like, literally before this episode, I was telling Courtney, guys, I feel like Lil Wayne this morning. I feel like Lil Wayne, that song "Pick the World Up and I'm gonna drop it" on your insert expletive here. And just being more in tune with my emotions, but also dealing with them too. So the classic, you know, journaling, all that kind of jazz, but actually like articulating it quite quickly to the people around me. Usually there's a delay. I need to go and process and all that kind of stuff. But I feel like I've become speedier with identifying how I feel and sharing it with the people around me and allowing myself to feel it in the moment. So that's been a big, big like learning curve, but also something I've been so grateful for in the first quarter. There's been a lot of cause to celebrate this year as well, which I've absolutely loved. Obviously there's like all the exciting TMS related stuff and milestones that we've been able to achieve this first quarter, which have been mind-blowing. And I think keeping up with it for me, oh my gosh, I'm like, raw, like these are all exciting things, and it's like, oh, I'm gonna burst with excitement. And this has actually been a quarter of like really smelling the flowers. There was at least one moment, guys, where our dining table was just filled
with flowers.
People were sending us flowers, our friends, our family members, and like, yeah, there was literally like at one point maybe like 8 or 9
floral bouquets.
And I was just like, wow, this really is a season of like reveling in that which we have built. And I feel like that's what Q1 has also felt like to me. Like, we've actually built things. I've actually built things and I can revel in them and enjoy them. And that's been really, really nice.
Absolutely. I completely agree. I feel like that has been the season we've been in, especially in Q1. And it's crazy. We get to experience so much of our experiences in Q1 were together. Right. And so, with TMS taking off and stuff, it's just like, wow. Similarly, I looked at that floral arrangement covering our entire dining table and thinking, rah, like it really is a season of smelling our flowers and really taking time to smell them and receive them as well. We've been celebrated so much in the first 3 months of this year. Like, so many people have just expressed how much they appreciate the work that we do, but also how in support of us they are. And I think that's such an honor. Like, it's been, like you said, very surreal to also think about just how much love that we've received and also that our hard work is paying off, because I feel like Q4 of 2023 was definitely like a pushing time for us where we were stretched here and there, going through a whole bunch of stuff. So it was nice to actually enter into a new season that was full of like the fruits of that, but also the celebration of it all.
So I wanted to take this kind of in a holistic manner. Know, the girlies, when they start their vision board mapping, stuff like that, they have all of these nice tidy little buckets. You know, they've got the physical, the mental, the spiritual, all that kind of stuff. So I wanted to start with the spiritual.
Okay.
Where are we? Talk to me about your spiritual journey in Q1. What are some of the things that you have learned that have been pivotal for you in this season?
That's so good. 2024 Q1. I don't know if you remember, but like 2023, my main thing was like, I really want to like focus on God and keep God at the center of things and really I've been able to really be intentional about that anyway. Definitely haven't been perfect, but it's been really nice to be learning more about God's nature and how compassionate he actually is. And that's been one of the biggest things I've been dwelling on and
coming to the realization of in Q1, the compassionate, nurturing side of God, and how like there are feminine attributes of God and how there are mothering attributes of God as well. Because especially in our faith and a lot of Abrahamic faiths, we associate God with like masculine, you know,
right,
positions, father, king, lord, very masculine positions. However, there are parts of the way that God is described in the Bible that are like compassionate, mothering, a helper, like very feminine attributes. And I've been dwelling a lot on the compassionate nature of God, especially as I'm like trying to really heal the relationship I have with my own mother, and just kind of growing in my own womanhood and my own femininity, and trying to figure out what that means for me in a world that constantly tries to define it for you. And so with that, I've really been allowing God to nurture me and show his compassion towards me. And I think that's what's also helped me to stray away from the perfectionist tendencies which I usually display, because you know, there's this understanding that I have a God who loves me, who is a compassionate God, right, who understands that, Courtney, you are going to make mistakes. I anticipated your mistakes. I died for your mistakes. It's okay to make mistakes, just don't stay there, you know, and I can help you get out of there as well. And I think having that has definitely helped me to see that, like, oh, I feel myself getting a bit emotional. I feel like it's just reminded me that it's okay to also be on a journey. Like, it's actually okay. I think with TMS and just with the nature of what I do, you kind of almost have to show up to lead people through their journey. And sometimes you think, like, who's there leading me through mine? Like, obviously I have my friends, and like there's you, and there are people standing beside me who are helping me. But to know that you have someone who also looks at you and thinks, like, it's okay, you can come, it's all right, like, yeah, you're taking your steps. It's like when a child is learning their first steps, it's like, yeah, you took one step. Okay, you fell. Okay, it's okay. Get back up. Like, I think I haven't always felt that, you know. I've been having to do that for myself a lot. And I think I lost that voice a very long time ago that had a more tender, compassionate approach. And I became a bit more of like, you know, that coach, get up, go again, like do more. And so I think hearing that changed voice of God in my head, my own internal voice and my own my own inner monologue kind of changing in its tone, and that inner critic kind of dwindling down and being silenced a bit more, it just feels really nice to like just know I can go slow, I can fall and I can get back up. My nurturing is also important, you know. And I think as somebody who, you know, heavily dealt with eldest daughter syndrome and stuff, it's, we don't often get that ability to say my nurturing is important, because you're nurturing other people and the nurture hasn't necessarily been shown to you. So now to be at my grown age of like 26, finally feeling like I'm experiencing the nurturing and the, it's okay to come into the fullness of your identity over time. It's really nice. It's really comforting, you know? So I've been experiencing the compassion of God, and I'm still on track with my Bible.
Let me not lie to the people.
I'm kind of getting on track with my Bible in 1 year. It's just been nice to...
Sorry, do you know how funny that is?
Because I feel like everyone sets the Bible in 1 year. They get to one book and they said,
And it's always that. You read Exodus, you think, oh, this is so cool. Exodus. And then you read Leviticus and you think, God, you're repeating a lot of the same words to me. And then you get to Numbers and you think, it's only so much. There's only so much one can take.
You get to Numbers, is that sticking
point? That's the sticking point. I finally finished it yesterday.
Well done.
Thank you.
I'm proud of you, man.
And it's, guys, I can actually say it's so good.
Stop.
It's actually quite good.
Not you being a convert.
I mean, I'm not going to, you know, be throwing out Numbers Bible study at people. That's not... That's
you know, people will be saying, oh, you know, in Matthew's in Numbers.
But I think I learned so much about God's nature. And I think it leans well, like having read those books, I'm yet to read Deuteronomy to like really finish that canon of like the Torah or whatever. I see myself, what is it, the Torah or the Pentateuch? One of the two, those like four combined books. I'm yet to have read something that really reminds me, especially in reading like Exodus, Leviticus and Numbers, you really see like the failure of people. Like people just keep failing. They keep falling. They keep struggling. And then to see God, like, not gonna lie, sometimes I was reading, I was thinking, God, why would you do that? It's like, oh, cause just hit them with a plague, kill all of them. And there are some parts that have definitely made me uncomfortable. Like, whoa.
God literally said, boo, tomato, get off stage. Tomato,
out. Exit stage left. But then a part of me is also like, but Courtney, he continues the story, you know? And you can't experience compassion if you don't, and mercy almost, if you don't realize that like you actually deserved judgment. But it was because of God's mercy and his compassion that he didn't give it to you. So anyway, not to preach the gospel to y'all, but like,
I mean, hello.
But yeah, that has definitely helped me to see more of like, God is willing to journey with people, you know, especially when you realize that journey of like around the wilderness and the mistakes that people make and stuff. You just see that God is willing to journey with people, you know, or with a people. So yeah, that's been me. Sorry, that's been quite long-winded.
No, no.
But how about
I
you?
I love that. That's what these discussions are for. It's a conversation. Yeah. So, you know. sorry, guys, we watch entirely too much American television.
So does the whole world.
Yeah, as you can tell. I'm telling you, every time I realize, I'm like, we need to switch to like another accent. Guys, just pick your accent. I'll do my best to try and do it, but whatever. I love what you're saying, because a lot of what you shared resonates with me so deeply. This idea of God as nurturer is so tough, especially when you've been in situations or environments where you've had to lead.
Yeah.
So to allow yourself to be cared for and led can sometimes be very tricky and challenging, but so necessary. So I really love that. I think for me, God has been doing a work of timing in my life. He's really been dealing with me in the area of timing and sequencing. I love to use that word all the time, but I feel like as somebody who is often going forward, I feel like this has been a time where God has been telling me to go back. So in every respect in my life, right? So thinking about like if there's any unhealed trauma, I really feel like this has been a time of like, go back. Let's journey backwards so that you can go forward. This whole idea of like, you take one step backward in order to take more steps forward. I feel like God has just been like, Renee, there's some here, 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 here. Come back here. Let's deal with that first before I take you out here.
I love that.
And as I was mentioning earlier, this whole idea of like emotional stability and emotional articulation, I really do feel like this has just been a time where whilst I have been in the place of like prayer and submission, just getting more comfortable with articulating how I feel in the presence of God has helped me so much with articulating how I feel in the presence of people. So really trusting that God cares about me enough to hear how I'm feeling has helped me and empowered me so, so much. And then with like timing, I love what you were saying about slowing down, because God has been like, you gotta like slow it down a little bit. And even when I think of like the some of the stories in the Bible, this whole idea of like the wilderness or going through the valley and all that kind of stuff, not to say that I'm going through a valley season per se or a wilderness per se, but making sense of all of the previous wildernesses that I've been through and really understanding that, as you were saying, there's still a continued story here. And the fact that the wilderness is an opportunity to grow closer to God. And then discovering,
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
One of those people that loves to go back into, oh, you know, history and stuff like that. Like, let's put this in historical context and stuff like that. And learning about timing in the Bible, I'm like, David was in the wilderness for a long time. I know we talk about, you know, the Israelites being in the wilderness for 40 years, but they were really in the wilderness for 40 years. They were there for a long time. And then when I found out about Moses parting the Red Sea and the fact that that man was not, he didn't just open the staff and the sea parted. He stood there.
Yeah.
for a while.
For hundreds of thousands of people to walk through.
For a while.
Yeah.
So understanding that it's not like timing and seeing God's hand in your life isn't just about speed,
yeah.
but it's also about slowing things down
yeah.
and the work that he's able to do in that time period, that yeah. extended period of time. Has really been gingering me recently because, as I said, I'm somebody that likes to be go, go, go. Yeah. I'm guilty of being a go-getter. Yeah. But sometimes God is like, don't get anything, just stop.
Yeah.
Just cease and desist. Let me do some work on you here in this wilderness, in this time period. And then even understanding that sometimes we even provoke a wilderness season for ourselves.
Facts.
Because we have been going so fast and so hard for so long. And as somebody who is definitely, I'm still working out the whole not working too much, finding a balance, all that kind of stuff. I think there is a reason, a God reason, that it's even built into our very nature. Our body tells us enough is enough. Like it's time to rest. So really like making sense of wilderness, really making sense of time, really understanding that slowing down or extended periods of time is just as important as the speed up and the what feels like an acceleration has really been doing it for me, especially because I think for in a lot of other areas in my life, it would be easy to think, wow, there's been such a linear progression or a linear acceleration. Mm-hmm. Like even if I was to talk about some of the great things that we've seen with like TMS, it's like, oh my gosh, there's so much happening in such a short period of time. But understanding that before that short period, that kind of short, what feels like a short burst of great stuff, long seasons of working on oneself, long seasons of pursuing the things that God has called us to, very long seasons of behind the scenes that no one really ever sees. So yeah, that has been gingering me, man. God has really been doing the work on unhealed trauma, slowing things down, pacing, and making the most of what feels like a wilderness.
I love that. I love that. It's giving growth and maturity, man.
It's giving growth and maturity.
I wanted to say something quickly about that whole thing, because I also think God has been talking to me a lot about, like, why are you rushing? Like, why are you, what's going on?
Yeah.
You know? I think we've talked about this a lot around, like, how oftentimes we're rushing and moving and doing all this like crazy workload stuff because of fear. But I also think there's like that understanding that when we look at these really cool people who we admire in the Bible, like oftentimes it is in their youth that they hear, you know, this is what you're called to do, but it's not until very later on in life. Right, there are your cases of like your Joshua's you know, people who from young you've just been running and doing your thing. Even you know, Jesus, 33 or whatever, but like even Abraham, Sarah, a lot of the Old Testament books and stuff like that, you really hear of 80s, 90s, like really, really old. And obviously we don't live as long as they used to. Hopefully God permits us long life.
Yeah.
But I think there is that contextualization, which you were saying, and that gives you just a better understanding of the fact that not everything has to happen in my early 20s. Right. And I think it's also like a fruit of comparison sometimes that causes you to lose sight of what God is trying to do and trying. And instead you try to catch up with what everything that everyone else has done.
Yeah.
You know, we have incredible peers and people who are amazing friends who are just killing it at very young ages. And it just makes you think, oh my gosh, this has to be done by now. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, this, and it's like, well, no, you know, God has put you in this space with these people for a reason, but also don't let the enemy pervert something which is amazing by making you fall into comparison, you know? So I think with us, it's like, not everything has to be done now, you know? You're still quite young. And I think people often bring that up to us and we're kind of like, oh yeah, whatever. But then it's like, no, really ruminate on the fact that you're quite young, you know? Like you're actually quite young.
And
when I look at a lot of people who have entered into our lives recently who are a bit older, you start to realize like we have so long ahead of us to accomplish so much. We actually have time and let God move in his time. Sometimes his time is fast, sometimes it's slow. And it's okay to take your time.
It's actually okay to take your time. There's a sermon in there for somebody about someone. Your time.
It's okay to,
let go and let God, as the popular quotation says, you know, let go of the steering wheel. You know, sometimes I feel like some of these quotations that we come, these little adages and whatnot that we come up with, I'm just like, I wonder if God is just looking at us like, I
some of them are wrong. Some of them are just wrong.
That.
But, you know,
whatever.
Let go.
If it helps you.
Let go. You got the steering wheel. I'm finna work through you. But yeah, I love that. I guess moving on and thinking about, obviously I wanted to start with the spiritual because for us, our faith literally is at the top of the cards for us. Like it's something that leads into, exactly, something that dictates everything. But moving into another one of those buckets that we often talk about, which is our mental and emotional well-being, our health. I think 2024, for the most part, much like 2023, has brought some depressing news.
Oh, yeah.
There has been challenges, both kind of wider socially, but also interpersonally. There's a lot of things that people are going through. There's a lot of things that we have been going through. Talk to me about some of the lessons that you have learned in safeguarding your mental and emotional health.
I definitely think I've been more guarded in the things that I watch and listen to. I love the news. I love politics. I love knowing what's going on in the world. And I've been trying to consume it more from a factual place than an opinion-based place. I have a lot of friends who are really, you know, enthusiastic about politics. And sometimes because of that, maybe you get your news or your main news source is social media, which is already framed through people's opinions you know, their own, not political agendas in the most negative sense, but like if this is my mindset and my, you know, theoretical framework for perceiving politics and the events of the world, then that's how I'm going to feed it to you. And so I've been kind of trying to listen to things and get information that is less biased. And that has allowed me to really grow in my own, like, my own ability to interact with information and how I allow it to affect me. So I think it's one thing to know this is happening in the world, you know, there is war, there is conflict, there is all of this stuff, which can often make us pessimistic or just depressed about the state of the world. Yes, all of these things are happening. What are the facts? How can I be involved? And how do I want this to also affect me and my mental and emotional state? So I've just been trying my best to guard how I process information. I've also been trying my best to be really firm about my boundaries as well, and the conversations I have with people and when I have them, being really attentive to my mind space before I engage in certain very difficult conversations with people, to just make sure that I am being solution oriented or I am articulating myself well. If I am being emotional, there is a reasonable amount of emotion and it isn't, you know, triggering me or amplifying a pain that's there and unnecessarily anyway. And so I've been trying to be a lot more mature and emotionally intelligent in my approach to relationships and conversation and interaction with people. I've also been trying my best to manage my energy better. And I think this leans as well into what you were saying about rest, learning that like rest isn't the holidays and the, you know, really big moments of rest. It's also daily, you know, it's about taking that moment in the afternoon to have a breather, go for a walk, really disengage from your work for a second and get where your mind is at. Actually sleeping in the night when you need to, start taking melatonin from time to time just to some deep sleep. It's really working for me. I grabbed it whilst we're in New York because apparently the one in the UK is a lot weaker. But it's been nice to actually have some nights of very deep sleep where you allow, and it's funny because it's about allowing yourself to actually feel tired. And I think a lot of what I was doing before was like trying to constantly fight the tiredness. And like you said, no, your body has a natural system in place that's like, you feel tired, you should sleep.
Go to bed.
Stop trying to fight that thing. So I've been drinking a lot less coffee and stuff like that. Although this week necessitated that I had some cups of Joe.
Why is it called cups of Joe?
I have no idea. Who American girls explain it to us. What is that? But yeah, trying to manage my energy levels, trying to balance rest, and maximize it as much as possible. In terms of other mental things, I've been journaling a lot, like daily journaling, just all your thoughts, throw them on the page, and try to really work through my emotions and almost untangle my own thoughts a bit. I'm one of those people who has racing thoughts, always thinking about something, whether it's work, whether it's family, whether it's whatever, I creative ideas, I'm constantly thinking and my mind can bounce from here to there and everywhere, and that can actually cause me to have like physical headaches. Like I'm actually really mentally drained in some ways. So I've been trying my best to just write a lot down and try to make sense of a lot of things and not just let thoughts come and, you know, go, but actually like take them and okay, let's flesh this one out a little bit, or let's just park that a bit, you know. But I think externalizing it, even just writing it down on paper, has made that whole process a lot easier, just so that I don't feel as overwhelmed and I'm not putting as much, you know, mental burden on myself, because it's a lot to carry all these thoughts around. And I'm not, these are not heavy thoughts. These are just, oh, you should do this, you should do that, oh, that would be so cool, imagine this, and then you had the conversation with this person, all these ideas. Just write them down and choose when you're going to deal with them. And then my last thing is actually trying my best to stay organized. So I always say, like, I'm quite a, like, oh, I don't like any of my days to look the same. And I don't, like, I don't really like routine like that. That's super strict. But there are certain things I've put in place that are like consistently, you know, you need to do these every day. When you're going to do them, once that's out of the way, you have the rest of the day to free flow and do whatever you want. But, you know, make your daily to-do list. Everything is flexible, because I think before I was trying to fit myself in a big box of I was trying to fit myself in a small box of like organization and productivity looks like this, you have to do that, and it was making me really disappointed in myself, because a lot of times I would wander off and do something else, and I'd be like, crap, all this stuff on my to-do list I haven't done, you know, or I do things in a different order. So it's been nice to actually, like, these are the fixed things that cannot move, things like meetings, things like, you know, you gotta go on your walk, you gotta get your 10k steps, or you have to take your supplements and stuff like that. Let's get that all out of the way. Let's have our fixed stuff. Everything else around it is fluid, you know, and having that level of ease has been really, really nice. And I've actually found it skyrocketed my creativity and my productivity, rather. I'm just getting stuff done, getting
it done, done, dusted.
Sorry, that was a very long-winded way of saying.
Dropping gems, man.
I'm trying my best.
The girls the girls need the tidbits of information helpful and supportive.
No, how about really yourself, helpful. Mental and emotional, where you been at?
Mental and emotional. Well, the first thing that came to mind for me is leaning into the simple things that bring me joy. I am a stickler for small things that make me happy. I'm the kind of person, my day could be made if, you know, for example, I'm going to a meeting in like Oxford Circus, I know Ben's Cookies is there. I'm gonna get myself a cookie because that really makes me happy. Or, you know, if it is a particularly sunny day, making sure that I find a way to work so that there's sunshine coming into my window, or I'm actually outside working. If there's friends that I really want to catch up with, or like hearing the voice of someone that comes to mind for me right there in that moment, if I do have the opportunity to, I will call them and be like, hey, thought of you, would be great to touch base. And actually hearing their voice and interacting with them brings me so much joy. And I think, especially from the beginning of this year, choosing to lean into the simple things that bring me pleasure has made my days so enjoyable. Like, I have things to look forward to throughout my day.
I love that.
We often come on here and talk about those Iceland chicken wings. Iceland, if you are listening to this, please, we are awaiting. But even something as simple as knowing that, oh, for dinner, I know I'm going to have my Iceland chicken wings. That makes me really happy. Or, you know, finding more time to do things that I really love, like reading. I've been able to read so much more books this like first quarter because I've been like really leaning into it because I enjoy it. So prioritizing finding the time to lean into the simple things for me has been game changing, because I was definitely the kind of person that loved to overcomplicate. Like, I have to have all of these systems in place. And don't get me wrong, I still am a stickler for systems, but sometimes it is just about the small things that make you happy. I don't know if it's also adulthood and aging, but even things like buying new appliances make me very happy. Guys, I got a waffle maker recently. I'm really happy. I got a milk frother for coffee. Oh my days. Like, when I say that makes me happy, who'd have thought that frothing your milk would change your life? So yeah, leaning into those kind of small simple things that make me really, really happy is a major, major thing for me. I think similarly to you, making sure that I stick to my boundaries and making sure that I actually have time to safeguard myself.
That's a big one.
So like, I don't like speaking to people generally after 7, 8 p.m. in the evening, unless, you know, I am deeply, deeply in love with you, or like there is something, like you're a friend, family member, that kind of stuff. But work related stuff, I know that I need a while to wind down because my brain is so active. Yeah. I think similarly, I can have racing thoughts. I'm also an overthinker. I definitely think I lean on the side of potentially having ADHD, but that's a conversation for another day.
Yeah.
So having time to actually wind down and really process my thoughts, either I like to go for walks in the evenings if I do have time, is really helpful because it means by the time that I want to go to sleep, I'm actually ready.
Yeah.
So preparing myself by giving myself time and space to just go through the unwinding almost. Mm-hmm. It feels like almost like a jack in a box, mm-hmm. but going with the reverse, mm-hmm. where I'm unwinding. So prioritizing that has been, again, another game changer for me. I think also similarly, finding ways to articulate how I feel as opposed to how I think has also been really important for my mental health and well-being, and also being honest has been great. So I'm a writer. I love writing. I have tried to and have started embracing like writing down my thoughts as they come, because sometimes I can have a thought and I'm like, oh, okay, when I get to like journal time, I'll journal it then. But then either I forget it or it is locked away somewhere in my subconscious and it's causing me stress and strife, but I can't remember exactly what the details were. Yeah. So I've started this habit of noting on my phone, for example, or like keeping like a little notebook somewhere handy. I have like 5 notebooks that are dotted around my room now. And however I feel in the moment, if it's particularly heavy, I will just note it down and then revisit it at the end of the day and then kind of like work through it.
Yeah.
So that's also been helpful because it means, as somebody that has struggled in the past to articulate how they feel, giving myself the time in the moment to articulate how I feel has been so helpful. So that's also been really, really nice.
That's nice.
And yeah, spending time liking myself, you know, like spending time with myself, liking myself, doing things that I like, but liking me has been really, really helpful too. Like, yeah, like my mornings, protected time. I don't like speaking to anybody in the morning. Biggest mistake is me and God in the morning. Anything else, unless it's like an emergency, somebody has to have fallen out of a car or off, like their emergency services will have had to have been called. Mm-hmm. But having protected times for myself has protected me.
Yeah, so
those are some of the ways that I've been protecting my mental and emotional well-being over the past few weeks or so. But naturally, concluding the trifecta, quadrifecta, getting to the last, I was trying to say something about, obviously, we've talked about the spiritual, then the mental and physical, and then, no, the mental and emotional, and then now we're talking about the physical.
Yes.
I was going to say trifecta, but I realized that mental and emotional are two separate things. So it's like, what's the fourth?
Okay.
See where your thoughts are going ahead of you, but you haven't been able to articulate yourself. But I guess it is the trifecta
because it's three sections.
This is true.
Yeah.
Thinking about your physical health and well-being
for
Q1.
Yeah.
Talk to us about that. What are some of the learnings? Sure. How have you been taking care of your physical health and well-being in the first quarter?
So I've been trying my best. Rest has been multidimensional. So as much as it's had its mental and emotional benefits, it's definitely had a physical one in that I feel a lot less tense in the way that I'm just navigating my day. But I would definitely say, as I've been trying to be more active, I've definitely learned that like I also need to overcome the obstacles that would be in the way of me being more active. So things like traveling a lot in Q1 definitely threw me off my initial like habits and routines of like, okay, I'm getting my 10,000 steps, but then what if you're sitting on a plane for 11 hours? You know, how are you going to do that? So also finding ways to like, let's work around all of this changing schedule and stuff. I think I've been quite bad with when it comes to my physical health in a lot of different areas, because I told myself Q1 would be, you know, just start the habits, get on your feet, and then Q1 was full of so much travel and it threw me off. It was just kind of like, I haven't actually done the implementation of certain habits and routines. I wouldn't even say routine, I would say habits, just getting things started before I headed into Q2 to make it a routine. So I feel a little behind in some sense, but then I also feel like I've been in a bit of recovery mode. Like Q4, like it was very turbulent. Like Q4 was actually really, really hard for me. And so falling into other, you know, bad habits like comfort eating and stuff. It was just like, okay, cool. We have a bit of emotional recovery to do here before we now start implementing certain habits. Mm. And I still, to some degree, feel like I'm still at the beginning of my health journey a little bit, but I've been trying my best to have patience, but also get yourself back on track, sis. And so, yeah, physical though, I feel okay now. I felt better at the beginning of Q1, I would say. Like January, I think for most people, like it started off really, really strong, excellent month. All of my days were crossed off. And then February's turbulent schedule threw everything off for me. And now I feel like March has been about playing catch up. And so I'm catching up. Like I'm really, really catching up. And then we'll see how Q2 goes. But I'm very hopeful. And I'm still holding myself to quite high standards in this area. As much as I'm saying I'm overcoming perfectionism, I definitely am, but one of the things I want to focus on a lot is discipline and feeling that urgency of like, nah, come on, we have goals, let's get back to it. So yeah, physically I'm doing okay. I feel like I'm beauty maintenance is a part of physical. One of the things that I've really been trying to stay on top of is like my beauty maintenance and just feeling physically confident. Like cleared out my wardrobe at the end of last year, have been loving my outfits, have been keeping my nails done, and like all these other things which people may think like, oh, these are all quite vain. For me, they are quite important to how confident I feel when I show up in the world, especially with more of the stuff that we do. When you are like meeting people all the time and you're speaking, you're on stages and you have to see yourself on camera and all of that stuff, it's like, okay, cool, let me stay on top of things like my skin and my hair and my nails. And these things also make me feel really good. It's like those things you were saying about like having moments of just liking, you know, I like this stuff. I love the process of doing my hair, the process of doing my nails. Like at heart, I am a beautician. So it's just like, oh, I like doing my eyebrows, and I do all of my beauty maintenance mainly. So it's like that process is almost like a ritual in some way, which is nice. So I've been staying on top of that, and that has actually made me really like happy with myself. So that's it's more vain, but I think it's been important for me.
I don't think it's vanity. I think it is your desire to feel good about yourself.
Why not? Take care of yourself. I try my best, man. But
it's important.
I'm back on my weight loss stuff, but I'm kind of doing a little bit of we move, like you were saying, about one step back. I feel like I've taken about three.
Hopefully it catapults me forward
Because I've learned the traps that may be ahead, you know. So I'm trying to slow down on my traveling schedule a little bit, or at least when I do travel, being a bit more like, go actually pack your walking shoes. Don't be silly, you know. How about you though? How's physical health been?
It's been going good. I feel like physical health is something that has continued to be like at the top of my list, because it's one of the few ways that I can really like zone out and like focus on myself and feel like I'm taking care of me. So yeah, I too am one of those 10k steps Avenger, so it will get to the end of the day and you'll see a girl, you know, steppity stepping, put on your dancing shoes, it's time to go outside. So that's been really cool. I think a couple of things for me, I think working more with my hormonal cycle has been really interesting for the first quarter for me, like really tuning into how I'm feeling physically has been game changing. Not to say that like, oh, you know, it's my cycle, so like it's my period, so I'm just like not gonna do anything, but like actually paying attention to the signs and like slowing down when I do feel a little bit more tired, or you know, even adapting the way that I eat, because I know when it gets to that, the luteal phase, like just before my period, girl, I got a sweet tooth. You will see, listen, you'll even see the composition of our fridge change. You will just see sweet things inside that fridge, and you'll be like, oh, Renee, your period is coming soon, Sha. So leaning into that a little bit, as opposed to trying to fight against it. So knowing that, okay, if I do have particular cravings, I will give myself something to satisfy the craving and then move on. Because I find that, similarly, I'm prone to comfort eating, but my thing is often about like, just how far am I going to go? I'm very much an all or nothing type of person. So I've started to embrace giving myself increments, or at least giving myself some kind of midway range. And I've found that that's been helping me a lot, especially when I'm finding fluctuations with my cycle. So that's been nice. Sleeping a lot more as well. I find during my cycle, the luteal phase, I'll be asleep. couple of days ago, I was asleep for a good 9-10 hours, just going to bed.
Sometimes it's necessary.
And honoring yourself when you actually need sleep and need to catch up on sleep. That's also been a game changer for me. I really enjoyed that. Setting myself more kind of challenging but interesting goals as well physically has been fun. So I'm trying to get on my, when I'm able to do like 10 pull-ups in one row, you guys will know about it. I will come on this, I will come to announce, guys, I'm that girl.
Come on.
Now I can do that.
Yeah.
And just having fun as well now has been really, really great. It was one of my like favorite kind of fitness YouTubers, Natasha O'Shane. One of her goals. Oh, she's such a babe, man. Absolutely love her.
Yeah.
And she was so crucial in my own journey of learning to decouple fitness and aesthetics and just enjoying fitness for what it is to take care of your body. And one of her fitness goals, she was like, well, my fitness goal is to be able to survive in a zombie apocalypse. Mm. And whilst I have no desire of surviving long, I want to at least say that I could have.
Yeah.
So that's been fun in terms of like just actually having fun with myself physically and feeling confident in the way that my body moves and operates.
Yeah.
That's been great. I think also I've been doing a lot more research into like long-term like chronic conditions, because I know that there are a couple of things that run in my community but also in my family, like things like diabetes or like high blood pressure and stuff like that. So like trying to be a little bit more mindful, especially as I get older, to be able to make the right choices on a daily basis has been great. What else have we been doing? I've been on my collagen. That's been really nice, really enjoyable, very consistent with that. I had like, what do you call it? I took, when I took out my hair, like the amount of hair growth, and I was just like, oh, this is a lot to deal with. This is a lot to deal with. Like, I'm getting to that point. If you see me and I'm bald, you're like, guys.
Good problems to have.
But I'm going to be, if I do cut my hair, please best believe on the podcast, I will be sat like this. You will not see the side of my head.
Oh,
you will not see the side of my head, because guys, I've really accepted that I don't have the head shape. Some of you guys that can do your pixie cuts, I love it for you. And not to say that I don't think I'm beautiful, I think I'm stunning,
for sure.
But I just don't believe that it would be conducive for me to get that kind of low fade. Do you know what I mean? Like, I just don't have the head shape to support it. But I have been thinking about like cutting my hair, because it's been nice, it's been fun, we've had a good run, but yeah, I just kind of wanted to do something quite drastic.
How long have you been growing your hair?
A while now, like a good, intentionally, how old am I? 27. Maybe a good like 6-5 years
now. Okay.
So yeah, it's getting to that, the end of the phase that I was going through about growing healthy long hair, and I'm like, I don't care.
Yeah.
Get that shit, I don't care. So that's been really, really nice. Yeah, heavy emphasis on like rest when I can, and just really like sinking into it, leaning into it, doing it has been chef kiss. I've loved it for me. What else have I been doing that's been really revolutionary? Oh, investing in skincare. Investing in skincare. I wouldn't have said that like in my early 20s. Oh my God, I'm a skincare girly.
Yeah.
Now I'm just like, I know too much and know better than to be doing all sorts of nonsense that I was doing before. And the last thing that I will say, drinking water, guys.
Big one.
As much of it's such a simple thing, I have been very intentional about getting my 3 liters of water a day. Like, I would definitely say, like, maybe last year I would reach like 2 and call it a day. Now I'm like, no, every single day I must 3. Drink water.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Life changing.
Literally, I've been doing that since like 2021. And it's genuinely the biggest game changer, even in terms of like energy. Like, a lot of your tiredness may just be linked to dehydration. And obviously there are so many different alternatives out there for like drinks that you probably will think, oh no, I'm drinking stuff, but majority of it's sugar, and sugar is very dehydrating for your system. So definitely drink your water, man.
Night and day,
please.
And if you are like active, drink water even more.
You
need more water, because I thought I was drinking water, but boy, when I added that extra liter, Courtney, I was jumping up and down.
Game changer.
With no pain, no nothing, game no changer. Creaks, all that jazz. So yeah, that's how I take care of myself physically and what I've learned over the last quarter.
I love that. You're killing it, babe.
So are you, babe. We're out here doing the best that we can.
Trying.
With what we've got.
Yeah, we're trying.
Well, sisters, we hope that you enjoyed that episode.
Yes, we do.
Let us know, what have you been learning about yourself in this first quarter?
Yes, ma'am.
What glowing and growing tips do you have to share? You know, what old adages, sayings, quotations, motivations can you share with the girlies? We need it. Yes. We're about to enter into the second quarter of the year.
Yes, we want to know, what are the tips, tricks, and hacks?
Watch out for us. Drop it like it's hot in the comments below. You can do this on Spotify, but you can also do this on YouTube for those of you that have decided to come over and see our wonderful, excellent faces. Yeah. And the journey does not stop there. You can continue to support the sisterhood, be a part of the community by following us on all of our social media platforms. It is at To My Sisterhood, Instagram, LinkedIn, you know, we everywhere. Okay, we just take,
you're ready now. Search To My Sisters, you'll find us.
You won't find these faces. So make sure you give us a follow. And of course, please keep up to date with our individual glowing and growing journey.
For sure.
My lovely girl on the left of me in the chat, click. Give us a pound if you, what do you call it? A pound for every time someone has described you as chocolate. So you must be so tired.
I would be so rich.
We're going to have to find something brown that's also tasty and delectable to describe you. Because
it's only chocolate though.
That's true.
Yeah, it's only really chocolate, isn't it?
Anyways, come and follow the beautiful lady to the left of me in the hot brown at CD Boateng. And of course, come and follow me over at Renee Kapuku.
We love to see it, and make sure that you sign up to the mailing list. Honestly, at this point, you're just doing yourself. So tomysisters.com, sign up to our mailing list. We send you weekly glowing and growing tips, literally things we're reading, things we're loving, things we think will help you, exclusive access to certain things. We're even about to include, or we are including, discount codes. Don't be silly, basically. Get yourself on the mailing list.
Don't play yourself.
Simple. Enter your email address and you're done. So yeah, sisters, we hope that you enjoyed that. Have an amazing week. Keep glowing in every area of your life. Okay. See you next week. As always, keep glowing and growing.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.